love Australia, here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It's Friday, people. That is the good news. Woo! Let's go. Let's beat this baby home. Big show today, Clown of the Week, as always, Friday staple, and it is full as a goog.
We got great guests on our show today. We've got Tim Rosso,
who's
going to come and chat with us as well, and we've got the one and only Mr. Eddie Maguire.
And we've got business because it's Richmond v Collingwood, the biggest game in
biggest game
on the
ever.
Planet.
It is. It's
on
going to be huge.
On the planet for the last 50 years, we're going to discuss.
We will. We're also going to have Clown of the Week. And don't confuse the two.
I mentioned Clown of the Week already.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, well, I wasn't concentrating.
Well, we'll have to pop you in it now.
What
about Week in Review? Is that what you meant to say?
I meant to say that.
That's going to be good. I tell you who else will be in Clown of the Week. Andy Lee. I'm still smarting.
Well, it depends on what side of the fence you sit there, because I'm pretty happy with Andy Lee, so I don't think I'm think he's a clown.
Andy Lee's dead to me. You'll find out why if you weren't listening to the show yesterday. Chick flick alert. There's a new, I hate to do it. There's another chick flick alert.
I'm not happy with it because it doesn't really include, should include chicks.
Well, you're saying even chicks are going to give this one a wide berth.
Yes, and small animals.
Wow. What could it be?
All right. We'll get to the bottom of that. I think that just about covers us. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
Oh, we've got a big announcement too about a bit of a promotional.
Well, when do you want to do that? Do that right now.
Sure.
All right. First, we'll say hi.
Hello,
to Dave.
How are you, guys?
How's your stupid dog?
Hi.
Marty.
How's your nutless wonder?
Say that.
Marty's going okay. Look, every day he's getting a little bit more confidence.
Oh, is he?
And I think, you know, by the weekend, we might have the old Marty back.
So, Marty, of course, had his testicles removed.
Yes.
We've organised a GoFundMe page for nudicles, which is fake testicles to make a dog feel better. Mm. What's the page currently at?
Let me check.
I've got the result. Do you want to know?
What is it?
It's at $50. And you know why? Because that's what Andy Lee said he would put in yesterday. No one else in Australia has.
I'm happy.
Andy Lee's at the moment bankrolling your dog's testicles.
No, I'm happy for Marty to go.
Come on, everyone. Give out the details. No, Marty needs some.
Well, go to our Facebook page.
He needs some nuts.
Kennedy Malloy.
Get him some nuts. And by the way.
What?
You've milked this guy. I came past. You should see all the dog products on Dave's desk.
Oh,
what
really?
Have you got?
I want to thank the people at Houndstooth who have sent in.
Fancy.
I've got like a new dog bowls.
Throwing it around the studio.
Dog shampoo, Hugo's Blend number one. There's a dog rescue and relief spray, Coco's Blend number four.
What about
aloe
nudicles?
Vera.
What about nudicles?
No nudicles.
Can I say something?
No nudicles.
Your dog better have no testicles, because otherwise this is like faking cancer. This is a dog version where, you know, you find out.
If you want me to take photos of the, I'm happy to do photographic
funny.
Evidence.
Yep, dog oh. better be.
Yeah. Well, speaking of photos, we did a bit of a photo shoot the other day.
We did. And as always, you look beautiful.
Oh, excuse me.
And
no.
I'm essentially human ballast.
Listen,
in the
I'll tell you what it is.
Making up the numbers.
I'm an old bride. That's basically.
We had fun the first time around, didn't we? What did we do? We did.
We've done Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
From Titanic.
Top Gun Titanic. And we did Shining.
The Shining.
Yeah.
And this time we've gone a bit more real.
Yeah, we've done more recent events.
So what's an iconic photo that's out there?
And we've gone Meghan and Harry on their wedding day.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's gone.
We'll put it up on Instagram now
It's a soft opening. It's now up on Instagram. It's up inside the building.
It is in the building.
And it might be in one of your Sunday papers.
Yeah.
But
I think the billboards will go up on Monday. But it's just,
and can I just say, Harry stacked on a bit. Harry's
he
probably
might have needed a bit of a shave. He's got a bit of a
Harry may have eaten one of the horses.
I just saw it.
That's
brilliant.
Oh, there you
You're
go.
A dashing bride, by
Am
the
I?
Way.
Gosh.
Yes. And again, nothing.
I've got a few
me,
years on Megan,
me.
I'll give you the tip. There's a bit of airbrushing
sort of
involved.
You're more sort of Sergeant Schilt style.
If you can imagine Mick Malloy as Prince Harry, that's what it is.
As what?
That's Prince Harry. I think you look very handsome, Mick.
You're very kind.
In our carriage.
Yes.
There you go.
Of course.
So we've got a few others. We'll let you know about those in the weeks to come.
Hey, I got one for you. Did you see this today? Imran Khan has become.
Oh.
PM.
You know,
you love him. You say he's the most dreamboat, beautiful.
Can I even say those words?
You know he's a pants man, don't you?
I love him. He's a dreamboat. Yes, I knew he was a pants man, but he's changed. And he's a changed man, and he's going to save Pakistan.
He's the free-balling PM.
I beg your pardon.
Of a very volatile
Do
nation.
Not say that. He's vowing to wipe out corruption and strengthen institutions he called dysfunctional.
And doing a bit of comedy on the side.
Hey,
he's from Pakistan.
That's ridiculous.
Pakistan, home
Don't
of the Taliban.
Rude.
Home of the.
He's going to sort everyone out.
That's where we found.
He's given
Osama
up women.
Laden.
He's given up everything to
still
for
rocks.
The country.
This is ridiculous. That country is nuts.
Well,
you know what? Cricket is probably the only thing that ever could
save the country.
Got me thinking, what if we ever elected a cricketer PM, who would it be?
Who would you like?
Booney.
You know what? I wouldn't mind.
Actually, give us a call.
Okay.
1333.
I wouldn't mind seeing Prime Minister Lilly.
Prime Minister Lilly.
Yes. Oh,
that's good. Crossing the floor.
That's
rubbing
right.
a ball on his crotch.
Really? That's all
what
right.
about Prime Minister Lenny Pascoe?
Oh, yeah.
All right, give us a call. 1333. We asked just before we went to the Killers if it's in honour of Imran Khan, who is now the PM. Notionally the PM of the volatile country of Pakistan. He's a cricketer. He was a bloody good one. It got us thinking, if we were going to have a cricketer who's PM of Australia, who would you want it to be? Before we get there, though, Andrew, you've seen our billboard, have you?
I have.
Whereabouts?
In Melbourne, just near the Burnley Tunnel.
Now, was it hard taking your eyes off me?
Oh, the magnificent-looking hat that you've got on, Michael.
There you go. You got a good compliment there.
That's a good-looking hat.
How'd the bride
go? And what about the bride?
Oh, stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Wow.
With the long white veil.
Yeah.
White veil. Well, I see the white's probably the white.
Hang on. Just be very careful what you say about me and wearing white at a wedding.
Did you save yourself? I'm just asking.
I beg your pardon.
Sometimes you get upset with me.
I don't. I just get exasperated. Thanks, Andrew. Cheers.
All right. Well done. It's out there. It's also on Instagram.
Yep. At Kennedy Malloy.
Great. Andrew, who do you want to see as PM from the world of cricket?
That's Jared.
Jared.
Mate, you got the name right. Andrew Symonds, two reasons.
Andrew Symonds, yep.
Yeah, good one.
Won't take any crap. He put that shot on the streaker. And also, he's an avid fisherman. He's PM now, gets in his little dinghy and putts around from his mansion. But
he'll have to have a little dinghy with a flag on the front. Yeah. And you're right. That would be the campaign, is Andrew Symonds whacking that streaker on the ass.
Oh, that's a good
with
one.
With a bat. Vote now. Yeah. Andrew Symonds, I like it, Jared. That could fly. Gus, who would you like to see as the PM of Australia?
Mitch Johnson.
Actually, he's pretty. He'd be good.
Well,
dashing
I'll tell you why
PM.
I don't mind that. Any particular reason, Gus?
The handlebar Mo wouldn't look.
The handlebar Mo. Now, when I think of great Aussie cricketers, I think of Big Mo's. Yep. You're talking Dennis Lillies, and you're talking your Merv Hughes. Mm-hmm. You're talking. Have we ever had
a PM with a Mo?
Maybe back in the 1800s.
Yeah, that's true.
I reckon they used to have a couple.
You think Edmund Barton might have rocked one, do you think?
I think it's time to go back to the big cookie duster. Well done, Gus Scott. Who would you like to see?
Hey, Mickey. Hey, Jane. I reckon Kerry O'Keefe, the skull.
Oh, that was
cool. Kerry O'Keefe, fantastic. He's a smart...
He's got the demeanour.
That's almost believable, isn't it?
It is almost believable, I think.
He's a former workmate of yours, Mick, so he might even, like, do jobs for the boys or something.
Mate,
like
I could be part of his cabinet.
Well, you could be ambassador to the US, aren't you?
Maybe I could roll him in a coup.
What would your portfolio be?
If you're ambassador...
My portfolio would be finance, transport, tourism, drinking. All right, thanks, Scott. John, who should be the PM from the world of cricket?
I reckon it should be Rodney Marsh.
Oh, Marshy.
Iron gloves.
Well, there, you got the cookie duster and old iron gloves. Mm. Old iron.
He'd be really sort of down to earth, say it like it is, no mucking around.
He'd be
around.
The usher of the black Rod Marsh.
Yes.
He
That's
could.
True.
He's just one of the all-time greats. He's a national figure. He would go
Yeah,
very
good one.
Well.
Thanks, John.
Tim, who'd you like to see?
I've got two candidates for you guys. I've got Merv Hughes.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd have plenty of followers and people actually follow him and
sure.
do things that he actually wants.
Yep.
and Warnie, as if we haven't had enough trouble.
Oh, well, we know we'd love that. Well, Warnie and Imran, that's what I think. Yeah. That's their
partnership.
Good partnership.
Merv and Shane are both Victorians. They could both run on the same ticket. Imagine that. Shane Warne, Prime Minister, Vice PM Merv Hughes. Shane Warne could die on the job like Billy Snedden.
Can you not predict that, please?
Well, I'm not saying, but if I'm not predicting if Warnie could choose a way to go, that might feature.
That's a good one. I think we've got time for one more. Yeah. Christian, how are you going?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm thinking David Warner.
Oh, yeah. Angry?
He's short, arrogant, cocky, and he lets other people fall on his sword.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, brother.
Please explain.
I'll let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
Okay, guess what?
What?
It's not Trump.
Well, that's a relief.
Well, it could be.
In fact, he's actually been quiet.
Pretty quiet this week.
No, he didn't actually. He did something.
He's had a shocker. But we just can't be bothered.
No, we can't.
We're parking that for a while. I thought we'd muck around in a show in the pool. Can I start with one that's been my particular favourite this week?
What's that?
Chautauqua.
I think you just like saying the name as well.
Chautauqua. I've got about five different ways of saying
it. I think I've won money on that horse. During
really?
A spring carnival.
Well, that will be a drop in the ocean because its prize money is $8.8 million and the horse refuses to leave the barriers.
I love that.
This is how frustrating when you've got this basically a cash cow
that's
not going to play ball. Now, it's the fifth time it's refused to run.
Yes.
It could be curtains. But have a listen. This was Rose Hill last weekend as the caller calls the start of the race.
They're off. Now I'm looking for Chautauqua, and I can't find him. He hasn't jumped. Chautauqua hasn't jumped.
Oh, he's a big grey.
Chautauqua's
gone. And he's just gone, nah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not today.
No,
not interested.
No. Feel a bit tired. Still got his towel on. like he's just got out of the shower.
That's ridiculous. All right, I'm going to clown the Prime Minister.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, I am. Do you know why?
Who? Why?
He ate a pie with a knife and fork.
Wow.
Clown him, please.
You
again.
Idiot.
I have to clown him again. He was in Tassie, in Ulverstone. We have to say hello to in Tassie.
He ate a pie with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
It's a Triple M in Hobart.
Triple M in Hobart.
Triple M
in
Hobart.
Sure.
Yeah. Is that the home of Dangerous Dave, the real one?
Yes.
Sometimes.
It is.
Dangerous.
Pick a load of Dangerous Dave.
Why would
there?
You eat a pie with a knife and fork? What's wrong with Malcolm? I don't think he's probably ever had a pie.
That's what I'm saying. He
doesn't know how you do it.
He's gone to the trouble to go, I'll ingratiate myself to the plebs by eating a pie past the cutlery.
It's out of control.
Let's just get this done.
No, I can't get that mental
image.
That
is unbelievable. Now, how many leaders have done this before?
Yeah.
Oh, incorrect eating of pretty...
Tony Abbott tried to eat an onion.
That's right.
Yeah, there was a sausage
roll from either end.
Yeah, that's
right. There was a sausage in bread.
and I think...
That was
Trump,
Bill Shorten ate it incorrectly,
Trump
didn't
did it in America with pizza. I think he had a pizza. Had a knife and fork and pizza.
He did.
And they got rolled.
Wow.
That's not...
Okay.
I'll tell you what it does tell me, though. There's an election around the corner.
Oh, if he's eating a pie
is all you need to know. All right, I got one for you.
Okay, what?
Liam Gallagher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this week. Now, look, we see these guys fire up at the crowd for a number of things. We've seen beer cans thrown on stage. We've seen bats. Chickens with their heads bitten off.
Underwear.
Yep. Run the gamut. I've never had a fish before.
No.
And I would say the fish caught Liam Gallagher a bit by surprise.
So which dickhead threw the fish here then? Stinky, smelly fish, man. Now listen, like, it ain't that bad, right? Don't be throwing fish on stage, mate. I've seen a lot worse than this. All right? Can't be singing while there's a fish there, mate.
Why wouldn't you get a roadie? Surely you get a roadie or someone with a lure.
You know what? A lure.
A net.
You know why it was bad? Because it was in Spain. and it was pretty hot.
Yeah,
and I think it was stinking up a storm.
They do good fish.
They do.
It's probably a sardine.
Yeah. Or a mackerel.
Ooh. Hey, you get the idea.
Yeah, give us
get
a call.
Involved. 133 53.
Give us a talk for your clowns.
Eddie McGuire on the show a little later. We've got Rosso, a couple of broadcasting legends. Tim Ross as well.
Did
huge
you just
show.
Boo Eddie McGuire.
I'm not booing Eddie. I'm booing the Collingwood Football Club who he represents.
Oh my God.
Otherwise, he's a good egg.
He's a good egg.
No, he knows the rule. When it's game day
it's
and you've got your game face on.
Don't worry. He's pumped. He's pumped.
He's pumped. He's coming in. How does he do that? Because he's on Millionaire.
Oh,
don't give away the secrets.
Listen, I hate to tell you this. I think they might pre-record
it's
the
not
TV
live.
Show.
No. I mean, Ed doesn't go in there every day.
You mean, I don't want to blow it
clown
for you.
Clown me,
buddy.
Dave.
Sorry.
Hey, can I clown the Tour de France?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because we've been meaning to get to this. Oh. But I've told you 100 times, my favourite thing in the world of sport is when the peloton goes down. It is carnage. It is carnage.
I know.
At high speed, those guys are wearing next to nothing. Some of them go over bridges.
Well, I hope nobody gets severely injured.
It's just awesome.
It's
and there's been a million ways for a bit of push and shove up the back. A dog runs out.
a
swarm
chick.
Of bees I saw once.
Swarm of bees?
Swarm of bees attacked a peloton. Well, there's a ripper today. This is 2 days ago. We've been trying to get to it. And the peloton went down. There was some protesters, farmer folk who came out and put some hay bales down to disperse them.
Mm.
The police have sprayed the area with tear gas, well, capsicum spray, but it's still in the air as the peloton comes out of the corner. And the footage of these grown men bawling like babies as they stand there.
But it's really nuts because they honestly, it bloody killed them.
Let's go.
Take a listen.
There was a protest by some local farmers who laid hay on the road. The race was actually stopped as a result of some pepper spray being sprayed at the riders.
Yes, we've heard that pepper spray or chemical were sprayed, we think, at the protesters, but then the riders got affected and had to pour water in their eyes, as we saw.
Yeah, well, you can see there the riders are rubbing their eyes, trying to clear their eyes, wash their eyes from that chemical spray.
Oh, my
How
God.
How much fun is that?
That's awesome.
And what about Chris Froome? So far, Chris Froome, this year, he's a former champion, has been punched by a spectator, wrestled off his bike by a policeman, and capsicum spray.
Oh, man. See, now I'm interested
now
in the Tour de France.
Now
you've got me.
All right, tonight they should throw out one of those spikes at the police.
Can I just clown you, just quickly?
How dare you?
For doing what you did yesterday.
What did I do?
You had headphones on. How long have you worked in radio?
On and off for years.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it? This is how we
Oh, yeah, we got it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've got the bottle of red wine given to me, but I've just witnessed something that's ridiculous. You trying to put on another pair of headphones. You've already got some on your nong.
Wearing headphones, and he went to put another pair over those.
I'm rattled after Andy Lee. After Andy Lee gave you my bottle of red. That's what got me rattled.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Hey, okay, well, what about you?
I think I had a bit of a big week. I'm very overwhelmed
okay,
this
what
week.
About for sending his kids to school in damn clothes? Worst mother ever.
That's terrible, Muriel. What did I do
seriously,
that for?
Seriously, you had
Look,
one
I'm
job.
I'm sure someone's done it before. The dryer turned off by all of a sudden. What could I do?
All right. Hey, let's go to Stephen. I like the sound of Stephen.
Okay. Stephen, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Who do you want to clown?
I want to clown you, Jane.
What? Come on, I don't know if I can clown. What'd I do?
Just when you said the Prime Minister was at Ulverston in Tasmania.
Oh, did I say it wrong?
Yeah, it's Ulverston.
Oh,
it's
God.
Ulverston, you
know. As if you knew that, Mick Malloy. You did not.
It's Mick Malloy.
My apologies, everyone. And Ulverston, how do you say it? Ulverston.
That's Galveston, and that's highly offensive to people in Ulverston.
I think they'd be impressed.
Hey, what goes on down there, Stephen? If I was to come to Ulverston for the day, what would I do? Where would you take me?
What would you do? Probably just go to the beach and look at the water, I reckon.
Just don't oversell it.
Hey, you should be our new spokesman for the Australian Tourism campaign.
Got a good pub or something I could visit? What is it?
Yeah, I think they have one pub there. I'm originally from Launceston. I've been down there a couple of times.
Sorry, that's Launceston? No, it's Launceston. How picky do they get about their names in Tassie?
Know. Ulverston.
Yeah, well.
Big hello to
everyone in Hubert. Okay, now you just be juvenile, Jane.
Oh, you
hey,
are.
Hey, Leanne, let's take Leanne. Leanne, this sounds good. Leanne, okay. Who are you clowning?
I'm going to clown myself.
What did you do?
I was, well, as you do when you're in the office by yourself and it's a bit boring, you put on a Kennedy Malloy podcast.
Yep.
And I heard something good that you were talking about, and I actually picked up the phone and tried to call him.
That's awesome.
That's funny. And
give Leanne a prize.
Yeah, $100 Liquorland voucher for you, Leanne. You get that.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
I've got a good one. No, I will come back and do it.
Okay,
over
great.
Time.
Right.
But I've got a good one about an Egyptian zoo.
this is nuts.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
It is Clown of the Week time, 133353, a full board of calls and lots of clowns to get through, guys.
There are a few people clowning us for our new image.
Oh, yeah.
Which is now on Instagram. It's on Kennedy Malloy, on Mick Malloy 66, on Jane underscore dash reverse stroke.
Jane underscore hyphen. L underscore Kennedy. Yeah, no, we've done a bit of a tribute to the royal couple's wedding.
To the royal couple.
We got dressed up. Yes. It was a bit of a hoot.
Megan's gone berserk, and let's just,
what do you mean,
let's
Megan's
just say
gone
Prince
berserk?
Harry's been in a good panic.
At the papa, yeah, that's right.
Shut up, Dave. Hey, here we go. We're still, though, in the middle of Clown of the Week. Can we open the animal section, please?
Please do.
I love a good zoo story, and this is an Egyptian zoo who have painted a donkey to look like a zebra.
I've always wondered.
A zoo in Egypt has rejected accusations that painted a donkey to pass off as a zebra.
Oh, they denied it.
After a photo, the animal went viral. Hey, have a look at the photo. It's mascara's running.
Oh,
do you know what that looks like to
thing.
Me? The fine cotton affair.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what? That's my favourite story since a Chinese zoo pasted a mane onto like a bull mastiff
and tried
to pass it off as a tiger.
Oh, I've seen that picture last night.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen anything
all
like
right,
it.
I've got another animal.
They were getting away with it too till the king of the jungle started dry humping his keeper's leg.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dear.
All right.
All right.
Look,
what have
I've
you got?
One. A koala.
Oh, this
I want to clown a koala.
Which one?
I don't like to do it, really, but this one's
I've had it too good for too long.
This one, three lives. Cat has nine. Koala's got to have no more than four, I reckon. This will be the last. It got stuck under a fence and needed help to get out. Really, all he had to do was bob his head down.
But he couldn't do it.
Couldn't do that.
He's a nut.
Third time he's been in an accident.
What
first, he was
two?
Hit by a car.
Oh.
Second, when he was found unresponsive at the bottom of a tree.
Stoned.
I think so.
That's what they are. They're stoned and full of sexual diseases.
Oh, well, huh? Josh. That reminds me of someone else. I know.
That's my weekend. Hey.
Should we go to some callers?
Let's go to some callers.
Ian.
How are you going?
Good,
it's been a long time.
Good on
you. Want a clown?
Australia Post. I don't know whether you've read about the stamp controversy of ACDC.
No. What's happened?
So, Australia Post come out with ACDC stamps to celebrate ACDC's 45th year. Now, that's a noble idea.
Sure.
Very
when
noble.
When you look at the stamps, half of the album covers weren't even released in Australia. Like, you've got Jailbreak 74, which was released in four countries as an EP, but never in Australia. You've got the European version of High Voltage, which was designed by a very famous design company called Hypnosis. It's never released here.
All right.
On the back of the stamps, it looks like it's it's being curated by a work experience.
Ian, beware the wrath of the ACDC aficionados.
They've got it all wrong, Ian.
Look, I mean, I know stamps are supposed to be full of imperfections, and that's what makes them more valuable. But this has sort of gone overboard. I mean, like, there's a bit that says that Mark Evans was replaced by Chris Slade and Cliff Williams. Mark Evans was actually replaced by Cliff Williams in 1977. Chris Slade was one of two drummers who replaced Phil Rudd for a small section. So if you're an aficionado, you'll know this.
But Ian.
I am an aficionado.
Boffin's the word I'd use.
Ian, we'd like to keep your number because you could be our go-to rocket story.
And I'm not licking the back of Phil Rudd's hair. That's all I'm saying. Did we just cut Ian off there? That was a bit rude. Oh, is he there?
You're
still there, Ian? Sorry, we didn't mean to cut.
Yes, I am.
Well, hey, were you done or did you have anything else to add?
Oh, the only thing I would say, I mean, I did hear a rumour they were going to bring out some Kylie Minogue stamps. stamps, but people wanted to lick the front of them.
Whoa! Well, we should
happy
have gone
back to Ian.
That. I said
go
back on.
You clown. Let's clown Mick for doing that.
Jeez Louise. All right. Hey, now listen.
Yes.
Clowning. I want
oh,
clown.
You've been very... Well, what's
wrong
with you?
I'd like to clown Andy Lee. What? I'd like to clown...
Well, you do, but I don't. Because something occurred
yesterday.
Well,
something occurred. A long plan of mine, which was running beautifully.
Because it suited you 100% and didn't suit anyone
else.
Well,
because I architected it. And then this
and
is
you got heaps and heaps of stuff for your stupid Mick coin.
Here we go. You really do.
Mick, you've got a golf Mick. Clubs. No, you've got...
It. Name me something else.
But a Chico roll holder.
Yeah.
Yes.
A night out at Jane's. Cooking your dinner.
I haven't done
don't
that
you
yet.
Worry about that.
I haven't cooked for
wait, wait till you see what happens on that night. Is this in your old house or is this in your temporary? All right, here we go. Andy on the show, this is what he did yesterday.
Hi, Andy Lee here, Clio Bachelor of the Year in 2006. I was thrilled to be invited onto the Kennedy Malloy Drive Show when the Mick Coin phenomenon was at fever pitch.
What can you offer me? What do you have, a service or a good that you can offer me that might be worth that Mick Coin?
I got sent the new Twist Face TaylorMade driver.
Oh,
hang on. This is the one that Tiger Woods is using. This one's come straight from America. It's not meaning in the country, and I've got one, Mick.
Well, that's a Mick coin?
I would do it for 2 Mick coins.
You are mad.
Sold 2 Mick coins. Bang!
Let's slow that down and hear it again.
Sold 2 Mick coins. Bang!
So imagine my surprise. Actually, I'll rephrase. I wasn't surprised on last week's show when the shonkiest man in the industry tried to pull this swift one on me.
Now, we've got some business to transact. You,
yeah,
when I was
still waiting,
getting the Mick coins out and about...
I gave you this brand new golf club.
You did?
And you gave me nothing.
Well, here it is, your Mick coin. There it is. Look at that.
Oh, well done. Oh.
Just look at that.
Just the one?
But with my CSI-like interrogation skills, Mick's true colours actually shone through.
Can I have the other one? But can I just give you one? Because there's a guy down at the Prince Wine Room who's offered me a whole heap of well-priced burgundy if I give him a Mick coin, and I'm all out.
Well, bad luck. Oh, you're done.
Thanks, Mickey. It gave me a great idea. And because I have more time than you on my hands, which is remarkable, I woke up early one morning to talk to my assistant and get her to go down to the Prince Wine Shop and introduce herself to Roscoe and record this for me.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for the Mick coin. I hope you enjoy this. It's Gerard Raffé, 2015 Charme Chambertin Grand Cru. I think sort of $400 for a Mick coin. That's well worth the swap. I'll see you soon. Cheers.
Ah, Gerard Raffé, one of my favourites. Okay, I didn't really understand any of that red wine wanker talk, but the good news is I have a delicious bottle of very expensive red wine, and I've come here to tell you one last thing. Back to you, Andy, in the studio.
And that's
so
where
what
he took
happened?
It up, and he brought in the wine.
Yep, and
he gave
it
to
me.
Yes. Hi, Mick coin. Why?
Listen, you've had it. Too good for too long, Malloy.
Yes.
But it was a plan.
Time for someone else to shine.
Hey, do you know what? I remember when I mentioned it to him, I could see his eyes ticking over.
He was.
It was quite a smart move. All things aside.
Very, and that was
Noida,
very
Roscoe,
funny.
Roscoe, can we?
At the wine shop.
Well done, Andy Lee, but you've made a very powerful enemy, and I will exact my pound of flesh.
But don't take it out on Roscoe from the wine shop.
I'm going to see
Why
if
would
I,
you do that?
I'm going to ring him up and see if I can't scrounge something late.
Oh.
So, after this.
All right,
Roscoe.
Hey, we're talking about
from the Prince Wine Shop, by the way, which is the best in the biz. Friday. Oh, everyone's happy apart from me because I've been scammed.
Oh,
wine scam by you and Andy Lee.
I couldn't be happier.
You took one of my good Mick coins in good faith. Ooh, I gave that guy two.
It's a good bottle.
Told him what I was up to, i.e. was about to do a deal with the Prince Wine Shop for some good burgundy. Mm. So he sent his assistant down and gazumped me.
Yep. And now
I gave you the spoils of war
on my kitchen bench
From the Prince Wine Shop. The guy who had it pulled over him is Roscoe. Roscoe, are you there, mate?
Yeah, g'day, Mick. How are you, Jane?
Hey, Roscoe, I'm guessing you knew exactly what you were doing.
Kind of at that point.
Roscoe, I knew you were in the market for a Mick coin. I'd been tipped off, and I was ready to deal. And then you go and do this side deal that cuts me completely out of the action.
Oh, Mick, that's kind of how the market works, isn't it? Supply and demand.
Yeah, catch up, Mick.
Well, supply and demand. Let's talk supply. Have you got anything else for, say, a sad guy who just wants a little chop out? Having been cut out of the deal, have you got anything on site?
Get the violins
anything
out,
in a store that might just soften the blow for me?
passion fruit Bacardi Breeze.
No, oh, Roscoe, yes. You're a evil, evil man.
That sounds nice.
Don't make me come down there, Roscoe, because I will. What are you thinking?
I can upgrade it to a bottle of Passion Pop and a six-pack of Bacardi Breeze.
Jeez, I like your style, Roscoe. What
well,
about for me?
Something for my date.
Interestingly, Jane, what we were thinking, I was listening on the way home yesterday.
Yep.
And I noticed you didn't actually know what the wine was.
I'd heard of it. I do have some knowledge. Yeah,
don't worry, she's looked it up in the meantime.
Yes. we run some wine courses here. I also didn't know, by the way, your partner is Rob Sitch, who's down here as well.
He's very regular in your candy shop.
He texted while you're on saying, get that bottle.
Yeah, he did. Hey, have you got any Whispering Angel, Rosé?
Quite often we do.
Get some in for me.
What I was thinking was to offer you, we run a pretty intense and interesting, exciting French wine course. It's about $700 a head. If you want, it goes over 4 weeks, 2 hours a day. Every Tuesday starts at 6. If you want to come on down for free, it's on us.
Could I say something? She will drink you dry. Yeah, you will be closed for business.
How dare you?
Everyone will come in the morning and go, what happened? Oh, Jane came down for a wine tasting course.
No, I would use the spittoon often.
Yep.
I might come down too and just...
Thank you,
Your brother's been threatening to take you along for a dinner for a while.
I know, but, it's not my strong suit. Hey, Roscoe, what's the best wine you got in there at the moment?
Best wine we've got. Most expensive or best wine?
Most
expensive.
The best, I'd like to hear. See, that's the difference between you and me right there.
You're mercenary.
Shallow and superficial, whereas I'm all about
you're deep.
I don't know. We do have a lot of Burgundy, but... right now, I'm waiting to get off the phone from you guys to go and drink a bottle of Domaine Loire.
I wish I knew what that was.
Yes.
Hey, and what about, and for anyone out there listening, what's the best, what should they get into? The time of year, it's winter.
What do you have with a nice big steak or beef bourguignon?
The answer's always Burgundy or Barolo from me, and we've got plenty.
Oh, nice Barolo.
Big, fat, stinking Barolo. All right.
Hey, thanks, Roscoe.
Hey, Roscoe, down there at the Prince Wine Shop. You're a good man, and I think what he meant to say was, that's my bottle.
No, not at all. Didn't get
is
to that.
Is that what you read, Dave?
It'd be nice to share the bottle amongst the whole team.
That's fair enough. Just quickly.
It looks good, kill.
And I just pretended it wasn't happening.
Well, it's not. It's absolutely, you won't, you know.
Okay.
You won't
enjoy. What do you got
there? I know where I'm sitting.
I've got a few comments about our royal wedding picture that we put up.
So you can get this on Instagram, McBoy66, Kennedy Malloy, Kennedy.
Stevie B67 says, Jane's looking fabulous. Mick looks like Fred Scuttle from the Benny Hill Show. We had another one that's along the similar vein. Rastamaz says, Mick looks like a postie or a clippy from On the Bus.
I'll get you, butler.
I'll get you. And Camilla is looking a bit all right these days. Charles has let himself go, however.
We've opened ourselves up for this. It's available on billboards around town.
Someone says, Paul Field. Oh, this is my mate, Paul Field from the Wiggles says, blink twice if you want to be set free, Jane Kennedy. # arranged marriage. It was a bit like that, to be honest, Paul. I did feel trapped in that carriage.
Yeah, well, as long as you're asleep before the Queen. what was that? You're not
sausage.
Allowed to be.
You're not allowed to go to bed before the Queen.
Yeah. Was that the Queen's nickname?
Yeah. Or Gary. Gary, that's what their grandchildren call
her. No one calls her Gary. Hey, guess we've got a big second hour coming up.
Yes.
It's going to be an absolute ripper. Tim Rosso is on, and Eddie McGuire to Face the Music, re Collingwood v Tigers. I'll be there with my boys this
weekend.
Do
you think they will get 90,000 at the MCG, the iconic MCG in Melbourne tonight?
If all your lot, the bloated members, turn up.
Oh,
yes.
Sick of copying it from you. Can you be nice to me
in
the next hour,
we'll be
please?
Right, I promise.
All really?
Right.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
It's time to ride this baby home for another week, people. Here we go. In this hour, I know it sounds crazy, there's another chick flick alert. I know it's hot on the tails of a big one, i.e. Mamma Mia. But there is another one.
It's huge. And, yeah, we'll get into that.
Even you're alarmed.
I am alarmed. I'm going nowhere near it. The Week in Review, we'll have a look back at the week and see how we went there. Because we've got a few highlights to get through.
A very good friend of ours, Eddie Maguire, whose achievements are too numerous to run through right now.
We're going to have a big chat to Ed about a myriad of things.
Also to a major source of friction and pride between the two of us, how football teams who go head-to-head this weekend in the game of the season. It's going to be great. But get the ball rolling. What about this guy?
Along with his good mate Merrick Watts, Tim Ross had a pretty successful radio and TV career, mostly talking about food. They'd ring New Zealand for pizzas.
What else is good on pizza, bro?
Pepperoni.
Pepperoni, is that choice?
Yeah, I'd say that's choice.
They made drinkable kebabs.
With the taste of real garlic sauce, it's the contents of a kebab with water in a 250ml can.
And deep fried some Devon.
Imagine a sausage roll, but deep fried.
Oh my God, where have you been all my life?
But leaving radio and food behind, Rosso's latest obsession is Aussie architecture from the 50s and 60s.
I just love it. I love the lines. I love the way that it makes you feel. I love the furniture that goes with it.
Please welcome the man who knows his Boyd from his Smirkit, Tim Ross.
Friday. He's a loose cannon.
It's very highbrow, isn't it?
Sounds weird,
doesn't
it?
You've changed, mate. Feels like you have changed. Feels like you've abandoned us and left us mucking around down the shallow end. You go and live a fulsome life.
Hey, I don't know about that.
It's Friday afternoon, and we to include myself and Jane, like to go hard. Yes. There's no better drink in the world than a Friday knockoff. You, however, am going to abstain. Now, I'm going to guess there's some underlying reason for this.
There is. Well spotted, yes.
What's the deal? Has there been an incident?
Well, there's been close to being an incident, and essentially it's a sporting reason. It's Friday, obviously, before the big game on a Saturday morning.
Sure.
Not my game, of course. it's my son's under-six soccer.
Fill us in. So 6 years old, soccer, that would seem like a bit of a doddle, wouldn't it? That's just turn up, watch the kids run around the park.
Yeah, and I've never really played the game. I've not really taken much interest in it in the past.
Yep.
I'm certainly not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. Actually, I was recently doing a football show for Optus, where they asked me to come and be on one of these guests to talk about it pre-game. And I met this guy, a nice guy, John, in the green room, and I just thought he was one of the producers. Right. And then I was sitting next to him on the couch and I found out he was John Aloisi.
Yeah. I was having a feeling you might have gone that direction. He knows a bit about the game.
He's a nice looking guy.
You've done your homework, John.
And so, recently, of course, I only know the players because my son's in. Both my sons are into it, and he's been playing, and he's getting better, and all that sort of stuff. And I have turned into a sort of overzealous parent.
My son's joined a soccer club too, and it's going to freak me out.
Have you been exposed to this?
I have been exposed. Last weekend, I was shocked.
Right. And I do get a bit fired up about, you know, how he's going and all that sort of stuff and my expectations, which I never thought was going to happen. Mm. I'm suddenly going, oh, come on, mate, are you really trying?
Did you say
were you trying today? I didn't see you trying. Do you really want to play this sport?
Did you say we're six?
I have no
son.
He's six.
But there's some very good kids out there these days and their parents push them a lot harder. And he hasn't had obviously without any training from me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if I drink before...
Was there a turning point for you, though? Like, did you understand this always existed in you, or was it just...
No, it's so not me. Like, I'm not competitive, and
It was a sleeper. I can't imagine. I'm trying to picture you shouting from the sidelines.
How was alcohol involved?
So, yeah, that's always an important thing.
Okay.
If I have even the slightest hangover, I'm, like, cranky, and that's when it lets... And I haven't done anything. I just have to hold it in. And what my problem is the coaches. And there's one particular team we play, and he's takes it too seriously, which has always happened.
Yes.
He wears all the gear. Mm. He only substitutes the girls on and off. So he keeps all the good players on. That's what I don't like.
And it sounds like commercial television.
yes, I saw that. But it's true. And then, which of course is not the point of it. You know, the point is that everyone gets a go.
Yeah.
And
And that I think that that's less of the competitive stuff. But this particular guy, he doesn't even have a kid who plays. And I don't, like, if okay, I know that if I one. If we come up against them the next week and I've been drinking, I could, because he's not one of the parents, you know, a slight hangover, you and I'm Elon Musking him. And
oh, my goodness. No. All right. So it's a dry July for you.
I would say, though, Tim, if you are hungover, well, that is kind of licensed to pay out on a six-year-old.
Well, you may
not,
as well.
If he's not playing well at soccer.
Or it's his teammates, or, yeah. You know, he's not giving him enough, and hey, parents, or not going in hard.
Parents can be amazing. I remember at my footy club, Mount Eliza Football, we were considered to be the rich kids of the whole system. So every other team hated us. So every other team used to come out and try and beat the hell out of us. And it used to do it week in, week out. Some very tough teams. It got quite trying in the end. And I remember one day we were playing against Pines, who were regarded as the toughest team on the peninsula. And they just, their supporters just got into us. And finally, about halfway through the last quarter, one of our supporters has turned around to one of theirs going off and he's gone, "Shut up, mate, or I'll put up your rent." And I went, it was a small victory, but it was one for us to cherish. You've got to be careful. You'll be a soccer mum soon. You'll be a screaming.
I will not be screaming. I observe the screamers.
Well, I hope a hangover's not a factor for you.
That's right.
Now, you said you get a little angry when you're hungover.
Yeah.
Tim, what about, were you involved in a road rage incident? I need to know. I've heard
let's premise this also by saying, yeah, let's, I'll do premise this about, you know, just telling you, I don't know much about football. I'm not a great driver, so I will say that.
Okay. Right. Yeah, like, good to get it out.
Everyone just, it's been well known for years.
All right.
That I'm not great on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm always thinking about things. I do pull over. I'm one of those people who manages to drive like a grandma but still lose all my points from speeding at the wrong times.
Latest incident?
I was driving and I think I was buying something from Gumtree or something, and I was trying to work out where the place was, and I was weaving across on the road, and this guy, I was obviously cut him off a couple of times, and he came up next to me and he goes, "Mate, you are the worst driver in the world. You're the worst. You're a disgrace." And he saw my children's seats, the child seats in the back of the car. And he said, "And you've got kids. You're a disgrace. You're a bloody disgrace." And by this stage, I went, well, he had a point. But I wound down the window a bit more and I told him to get.
Yeah, sure. As you would. Fair call.
And then he just looked at me. He looked at me and he went, "Oh, good one, Mr. Television." I'll take that.
Wow. It's like, ouch.
You've been recognised in the middle of a road rage incident.
And no, but I am Mr. Television now.
That's right.
There's Bill Collins, there's Mr. Movies, and now I'm Mr. TV.
Well, you should have won a Logie. There you go.
But there was some TV show years ago that was involved a driving thing, and they were, for whatever reason, they thought that I might be okay at it. So, you know, it was that thing where you take the meeting. And I talked about how I used to collect old cars.
Yep.
And so I was talking about that stuff. And then they were talking about some other things. And I was like, okay. And it was all going very well. And one of the particular producers really thought that I might be the right person for this show. And then they were all waving goodbye to me as I drove off. And I almost collected some old lady on a bike. And oh dear, that's it.
You've nearly passed the audition, but not quite. Hey, Rosso, you got a show on with the mate of ours, Bob Murphy. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, at Acme coming up, we're doing a show on footy nostalgia.
Down in Melbourne, Federation Square at 6:30 on September the 20th. Just quickly, what do you do? You just reminisce about the good old days?
Yeah, I just thought of unpacking that sort of the idea of childhood and footy and how much was marketing and how much was real, and also things like trying to work out what the history of things like people wearing duffel coats and looking back at when footballers used to release records and all that
stuff. Bob's the perfect person. Bob loves the old cars, vintage. vintage cars, yeah, and he's got a new book too, so he'll probably be
making him wear his old jumper with the collar. That's the ones I
that sounds great.
Well, good on you, mate.
Yeah,
good to chat, guys.
Thanks for
have
swinging
a great
by.
Weekend.
Have one when you knock off tonight. Just for
no, just on the
go on, do it. Right. I dare you. I'd love to hear what happens.
Your child deserves it.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Guys.
I was going to say it's been a big week.
Oh, yeah.
Very draining for me.
For you? Or
well,
for
seeing
all of
as
us.
I burst into tears yesterday on air.
You put us through it. Yes, you burst into tears. You've had a haul off at every single.
I've been trolled.
My dog's lost its nuts.
Hang on. It was all about me for a minute, please.
And I lost a very good bottle of wine.
It's been
Andy Lee.
Huge.
You've made a very powerful enemy. There's been a lot going on. Let's take a look back at the week that was.
Life is full of annoying things.
This is an angry day for me.
There's the mildly annoying moments like Mick not being able to eat while watching the British Open.
What'd you have for dinner? Did you have Uber Eats?
Nah, man, didn't bother
eating.
Well, no, there was stuff in the fridge, but it was too far.
To the very annoying moments like Jane noticing Channel 10's pilot week was 8 shows all starring men.
You can't find one chick who's innovative, creative, funny, has great ideas. And I would have thought, seeing it's pilot week, if you're a bit nervous, Nelly, about putting a lady on a show by herself, this might be the right week to do it.
Lots of great women comedians in this country. I don't mean no.
Jane discovered a lady who was annoyed her husband was more attractive than her.
She said, my husband has always been handsome, and as we've gotten older, he's gotten more and more attractive. He's 6 feet tall with dark hair and hazel eyes.
He's good, big man.
He's very well built.
Hello.
And chiseled. That's not you.
And Mick's appearance used to lead to some very annoying moments.
Didn't you go out with a girl and some people used to hit on her when you were growing up?
Quite frankly, in front of me.
That's just outrageous.
Mick Jagger, for one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mick Jagger hit on my girlfriend in front of me.
It's very hard to compete Mick Jagger.
But I was quietly happy about it.
But the most annoying thing for Mick and Jane this week was getting stuck. Mick got stuck outside the studios and had to prove who he was to get back in again.
Everybody knows who I am. There's a poster of me opposite the lift.
While Jane got trapped in the office kitchen.
Well, we've had renovations in this building and now there's a kitchen situation where if you go into the kitchen, you need a pass to get out of it because it's got one of those closing glass doors.
You were locked in the kitchen.
I was locked in the kitchen by myself.
Do you know what? I think that's where Channel 10 wants you. I really do.
But sometimes the ones who annoy you most are those closest to you.
I went to parent-teacher night.
Ooh.
It was a moment for me because I realised it was the last parent-teacher night I would go in their primary school year.
Oh, my God.
When I saw the last teacher that I've known for 20 years, Dave, I said to him, this is the last time that I'm walking. Oh, no, I'm going to cry. I am going to cry.
Yeah.
Come on.
And he said, here are the tissues. Am I crying on air? That's terrible.
You are crying on air.
You enjoyed that, didn't you, Mick?
Mayday, mayday. This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat. This is not a drill. Warning. Warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Guys, be careful out there this weekend, July 28th, 29th. It gives me no great pleasure to let you know I've just had my attention drawn to an ad in today's paper in cinemas this weekend. Andre Rieu.
Oh, my God.
Andre Rieu. I repeat, Andre Rieu.
Chick-flick alert.
This is a live concert in cinema.
Hey, I take offence to that. It's not a chick alert. It's a granny alert.
It's a chick. Well, is it?
That is seriously.
It's an old.
I don't know anyone my vintage.
You'll be there on the blow.
I will not be there. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well,
not to see creepy Rieu.
This. Creepy Rieu, did you say?
Yes, I did.
Andre Rieu?
He's creepy.
Wow, that's a bit harsh.
Seriously? Have you sat through one of his concerts?
Yeah.
On the telly?
You'd love to be that violin perched under his chin.
Get out.
Played like a harp. Andre, if you're in any doubt, gentlemen, as to the nature of this film stroke concert, it's called Andre Rieu, Amore, My Tribute to Love. No! Here's a sample. Try the trailer.
Join me for an enchanted evening of music and dance and enjoy the romantic atmosphere of the Vrijthof from the comfort of your local cinema. You can dance in the aisles and hold your loved ones close. It will be an evening you will never forget. I promise a concert to warm your hearts with some of the finest love songs from around the world. This is Amore, my tribute to love.
Wow. He cannot be serious.
You're right. A bit creepy.
Massively
a
creepy.
Gestapo-y.
I'm imagining Venus Schnitzel and leather. That is what's springing to mind.
Why is he on the big bucks? He plays.
Why?
He,
because there's a whole bunch of sucks in the world that like his music.
You know what? You want to earn that much money, you want to play that many people, tie some cymbals between your knees, pop a drum on your back, get a washboard on your stomach, and get the whole thing going for you. Okay, have I got it? Are you well
yes,
appraised?
Yes, thank you for
are
that.
You
it's
thank
a you. All out warning.
What manner of evil is this?
Unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know that Eddie Maguire is the biggest name in Australian sport and media. We can't list every pie Eddie has a finger in, but we're going to give it a crack. Owner of Jam TV, president of the Collingwood Football Club, president of Collingwood's AFLW team, president of Collingwood Magpies netball team, president of the Melbourne Stars 2020 cricket franchise, host of Channel 9's The Footy Show, host of Channel 9's Millionaire Hot Seat, host of Triple M's Breakfast Show, The Hot Breakfast, along with Luke Darcy and now Will Anderson, host and commentator on Fox Footy, contributor to the Melbourne newspaper The Herald Sun. And let's not forget...
I was the milk monitor.
The Kennedy Malloy team get to watch Eddie on the in-studio TV screens every afternoon as he hosts Australia's number one game show, Millionaire Hot Seat.
Your boyfriend Gordon's with us. Go, Gordon.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right.
She's smart?
She's all right.
But she's not the smartest if she's going out with you, that's for sure.
Our Melbourne listeners get to enjoy Eddie on the high-rating and much-loved Hot Breakfast with Eddie Maguire, where audiences are treated to Eddie's very simple philosophies on life.
Don't put up with dickheads and don't drink bad wine.
And his mastery of a dad joke.
I choked on a Viagra once and end up with a stiff neck.
But one thing we know about Eddie is that his love for the Collingwood Football Club never gets in the way of his professional and unbiased commentary.
As Cope comes in and just says, have a look at that, mate. That's number 7. Cop that, you Tiger Mungroo.
Ahead of tomorrow's blockbuster match between the Tigers and the Pies.
Go Pies!
Tigers, go mad.
Please welcome Eddie Maguire.
Hello.
I'm exhausted just listening to all of that.
I'm just moving my chair back because I'm looking at like a battle royale between the Tigers and between the Pies. It's huge.
It's
isn't
a celebration,
it?
Isn't it?
It is. There's nothing better when the blood is flowing from Hoddle Street to Punt Road. We'll go to the old days where we used to pull the picket fences off and just go whackety whack whack.
There was a time when you wouldn't, it was about 79, I think, where you wouldn't catch, if you want to get on the last tram, which was about 6.
Yeah.
Because there would be blokes pouring, if anyone was pouring out of Vicky Park or Princess Park or MCG or anywhere around there, you'd.
I grew up with the knowledge of watching Captain Blood Jack Dyer, the famous number 17 from Tigerland, who said he wouldn't watch a black and white TV because he hated Collingwood so much. And Lou Richards, who said the only sympathy he ever gave to a Richmond mongrel was he'd put iodine on his boots so they wouldn't get tetanus when he kicked them.
Well, and I know this, for all the rivalry in the world.
That's what it's about!
I remember his funeral, Jack Dyer's, and you were there, and the Collingwood Football Club was very well represented. So, lying very close to the surface, underneath the ongoing tension and passion that is the relationship between the two teams, there is a bit of respect.
There's total respect. In fact, last year at the preliminary final, which was an amazing day for football when the Tigers just went berserk in front of 90,000 Richmond supporters and 300 GWS supporters. It was unbelievable.
Traditional rivals.
That was it. And they were going berserk and the atmosphere was sensational. And I was hosting Fox Footy on the platform, on the Meatloaf platform there at the MCG. And the Tiger fans were like, do you think we can win? Do you think we can win the lot? And I said, yeah, you're going to win it. And they were just so pumped and so excited, and it was wonderful. And they're all saying to me, I can't wait for your mob to come good, yep, because they'll have to build a new stand when we play. And sure enough, here we are tomorrow.
And that's
afternoon.
Been your year, hasn't it? I mean, obviously, it was not a stressful year, but you were where we were the year before, which was the coaches have been questioned.
And injuries, to players. And
But everything has come together, and you're just all pulling in the same direction, and it's a very scary outfit.
It's a really interesting time for the clubs, because when you're running a football club like this, you do look at the crowd, and the Tigers had just, they got 3 years into a five-year plan for 30 years, but then in the last few years, they've got it together.
Yeah.
And the Tiger roar is back. And they're back in town in a big way, and they're a mighty club.
Well, it's a fairy tale. That's what people love as well.
And now we've got two huge clubs in this town.
The two biggest Victorian clubs on a Saturday at the MCG.
How many do you think's going to get there? I mean, it's a world-famous MCG.
If the members turn up, it'll be 90 plus.
It's an issue, man, because I'm not going to get there until a little bit late. Because,
what the hell?
Got something on.
Wind it back. Well, I beg your pardon.
Let me tell you.
You'll understand
what
this
the
one.
Hell
My
is...
son's been picked to play in the first 18 for the first time tomorrow, so I'm going down early, and then I'm getting across. Don't worry, I'll be there.
It's Sophie's choice, really.
you'll have the chopper on.
There might be a delay. If you realise there's a delay in the game, you'll know what's happened. No, I'll be there.
Surely with all the pull there. You've got this town, you couldn't have.
You could delay the game a little.
Yeah, I was trying to get it on Twilight.
No, you should have got it on as the curtain raiser. Your boys' game. You can get it out
there. That's a good idea. I should do that.
But it is going to be. I can't in my time remember a bigger home and away game, and I can't remember being more excited about going to the home of football.
I feel so nervous for both of you. In fact, I feel a bit sick. Just thinking about it.
We're having a bet, Ed. Are we having a bet?
Well, I'm not.
No, he's not allowed to bet.
But you know the funny thing about this is, I'm quite sanguine about the whole thing because the Tigers are.
You're strangely calm.
I am, but because the Tigers are the number one team in the competition at the moment. Okay. No doubt.
So are you saying Collingwood's the underdog?
You're taking underdog status. But you should give me three goals in. You guys are flying.
And we've got the injuries. But what's been interesting this year has been the zen-like approach of our coach Nathan Buckley.
Yes.
And our old colleague Luke Darcy has a little bit of a hand in this because he went off to hold hands and sing Kumbaya up at Darcy's retreat in Bali.
He's got into the TM, Transcendental Meditation, has he? And the yoga.
Oh, good on you, Darcy. You got the pies back in town.
So once upon a time, if news came through that Jordan De Goey was going to be out of our team, we'd probably fall apart a little bit. Now we're going, he's out. In comes somebody else.
He's definitely out, isn't he?
Have you been doing it too? You seem very calm. I'm worried.
Was his dog involved?
No. By the way, Millionaire Hot Seat on right now, 5 p.m. on the Nine Network.
We've been enjoying watching this. We watch you every night. Be aware of that.
Do you know what I've noticed?
What's that?
So many hot chicks.
Yep.
Hot chicks in the hot seat.
What's going on?
There's a lot of Fruit Loops
and hot chicks.
There was a guy the other day, do you remember him? Yes. He was wearing a pink cap. And he had what I could swear was a false moustache.
Oh, yes, he was
He looked
dressed
like he was in a police witness protection scheme. And I'm sure you're onto it.
He's trying to win his parole. Get his bail.
There's some real smart people that you have. Yeah. And there's some, there's some dumb people. Aren't
there are some people who come across the set occasionally, Jane, who I go, what are you doing here?
Why do they think?
Is it raining outside and you just come in or something?
This is what goes through my mind. Do you honestly think you are going to win this show with your knowledge.
Especially when I say, is it A, B, C?
you do tend to give it away. I can't remember. Hey, what about that idiot who's won a gold Logie and his show was axed?
Don't you call Grant Denyer an idiot?
You know. He's a small man's Eddie McGuire.
Listen.
He knows it.
I thought they came up with
the novelty Logie, but it was actually actual science.
Eddie says he's a game show host. Yeah, Eddie's a quiz show host.
Yeah, but his show got axed.
No, but he's got a new one coming up.
Everyone does.
Yeah, he's got.
Mate, what's going on?
Yeah, except for chicks.
Waleed Ali's wife has got one. What's
on it? SBS, coming up, Waleed Ali's wife, the very lovely Dr. Susan Carland, is going to be hosting a new show.
I thought you had to be a thickhead to host a
No, it's called Child Genius. That's what the show's about.
Am I too old to enter? What's the age limit there?
Mate, don't even start.
We haven't got any adult geniuses. How are we going to find child geniuses?
Hey.
Well, there you go. So
anyway, when's that start?
Oh, pretty soon.
Is it on? What time? What time slot?
I don't know if it's going to be. Are you worried? I don't know if they've got a time slot yet.
Hey, question without notice. Up, Channel 9 Fairfax. You're good at this stuff. What does it mean?
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that when you go back 10 years ago, first of all, there was the combined total of the merger yesterday is around $4 billion.
Right.
A little bit less when the share price dropped, a little bit off the back of the news. When James Packer sold the business when I was CEO, 10, 11 years ago, we sold it for $5.5 billion, just Channel 9. So it just shows where things are to bulk up. I'll be very interested now. At that stage, we sold Channel 9 to CVC, a private equity firm, and there was a bit of a bid and auction going on with KKR, who then went and did a deal with Kerry Stokes. Now, Kerry Stokes, one of the smartest people going around. I'm just wondering now where that leaves Seven and whether Seven will pony up with News Limited, given the fact that News Limited missed out on getting Channel 10 when CBS sort of got in under
and
the
gun. And joined Foxtel as well.
This is the future.
Yeah, what that means, obviously for production of sport, because both of them have a pretty big infrastructure there. So
that's where it's heading.
It's going to be, I think so. I think that there's going to be more consolidation. Usually, once one domino falls, the others fall in pretty quick succession.
Okay. Hey, we've got to go. Just quickly, what time are you getting to the ground?
I'm not sure. The game starts, it's a 1:40 start.
Mm. Yes.
It's a 1 o'clock start for the first 18.
Dude.
So
can you believe it?
You'll be 12 goals down. Good on you, Ed.
Good on you, mate.
I was going to say, the only president's dinner I can ever get into is his.
It's mine.
good on you, mate.
It's
going to
be a big day. Go Pies, everyone. Yeah. Let's hope that good prevails over evil. Go those Pies.
Eddie McGuire joining us on Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.